being drawn to the beauty of His holiness. Wow. There's something wonderful over the fact that He's not like us. I'm drawn to that, aren't you? I am so thankful that He's not like the world, that He's not like people. God is so loving. His compassion is from everlasting to everlasting. You know, people kind of give up on you. But not God. He doesn't give up on you. It's a wonderful psalm. I'll have you turn there. Psalm chapter 91. It gives us a tremendous amount of comfort as we see the power of a God that is certainly holy. God that loves us. God that desires to rescue us. A force that seems to go beyond what we could even imagine is now written in this marvelous psalm. We pick up in Psalm chapter 91, and we read some things that perhaps we've read over and over and over again, but miss the wonder of them all. Sometimes we do that, don't we? The words just become familiar, and we just, oh yeah. In fact, we sung this, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." It almost sounds as if he's being redundant. On the one hand, he talks about dwelling in the shelter, and on the other hand, he talks about abiding in the shadow. Aren't those the same thing in Scripture? No, I'm telling you two different things that really complement each other. So what is he telling us? Well, the first part he begins to reveal to us that we can come and sit with him, and if we'll come and run to his aid, if we will run to his place of covering, that we'll find some sort of peace and rest. And he'll ultimately say that in the verse. He starts off by this statement. He who dwells in the shelter dwells. Now, he's saying you've got to stay. You've got to come and stay. You know, some of us are coming before God. We just want to visit. And he says, abide with me. How many times do you repeat that in John 15? Abide with me. Abide with me. Stay. He who will stay in the shelter of the Most High. Now underline the word shelter. That word actually makes reference to a covert, clandestine place. Can't see it. It was sort of like they'd have a place in the rocks and nobody knew where the hiding place was. It's a hiding place. Why can't we see it? It's a secret. What makes it a secret? Well, he actually explains in the next word. The hiding place of the Most High. Why is it we can't see God? He is Most High. How high is He? Most High. Far beyond. Our ways are not His. As high as the heavens are above the earth. His thoughts are higher. His power is higher. And it's making a revelation that He is clearly detached from the malevolent things that are going on this earth. This is not the hand of God. He is far higher. But Scripture is telling us that we can find shelter in the one who we cannot see. Think about that. There is a clandestine, covert hiding place. The world goes, where are you finding rest? I know you can't see him, but I have peace. I have a power and a force that's above the earth. That's higher than the heavens, that is supreme in majesty. If you will stay with the one who you cannot see, this is what he's saying. If you'll stay with him, believe. We know that the heavens are declaring his majesty and his power. We know that there's evidence of him all around, but he has removed his presence from us because of our sin. And if you will trust in him, watch the next phrase. You will what? Abide in the shadow, in the place of refreshment, in the place of comfort. Oftentimes, this particular word we use as a mother with her wings begins to embrace her chicks. In fact, Jesus says, I would have gathered you like a mother, but you would not have me. He will abide in a place of protection, of comfort, and of refreshment. Who's going to provide that protection? Look at the phrase, the Almighty. We often use the phrase El Shaddai, and it is that very word that is used here. The strongest, strong one. The most powerful of all. El Shaddai. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I'm going to put my trust in him, and I'm going to tell him that. For it is he who delivers. Now, it's very important. The reason that we took a little time in defining the first two words is so that you might understand what he's trying to convey to us. You know, there are all kinds of hidden dangers. Did you know that? Hidden dangers. There are people that have it out for you that you don't even know they have it out for you. They're planning things against you. Did you know that? They're trying to manipulate or exploit you or just get even. Who are these people? You don't know. You can't even see them. You can't know what their next move is. And there's no way you could dodge their traps. Watch the phrase. It is he, the unseen one, the one who is high above all, who sees all. It is he who delivers you from what? The snare of the trapper. The reason he's a good trapper is because he can hide the trap. Oh yeah, there's another thing that you can't see. You know those little tiny germs? Tiny little life forms that you can't see? How do you dodge those? How do you dodge that bullet? Oftentimes they show pictures of how many germs are on just one. I mean, all you have to do is put your hand on, and now you're trapped. You got it. You didn't even know how you got it. I know that there are some of you that feel like you know exactly where the resource is, where you got it, but you don't know where you got it. But look what he says. And from deadly pestilence. What's he talking about? Things that are unseen. I am so glad that our God is above all. He's the God that can see the unseen. He knows these things. He will cover you with his pinions. Isn't that the marvelous picture of a mother hen? And of the arrow that flies by day, and of the pestilence that stalks where? In the darkness, for you will not be afraid, verse 5, of what? What's that first phrase? Terror. Terror, night. Why night? Because you can't see it. Or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, and the destruction of the lays in the waste at noon. 1,000 may fall by your side. People are starting to fall, and they don't even know why they're falling. 10,000 at your right hand. But it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, a place to dwell. You know, the world wants you to trust in the things that you can see. The psalmist would say, well, that works for all those dangers, perhaps, that you can see. But what about the dangers that you can't? Who's going to protect you from that? And really, we can't even protect ourselves from the dangers we can see. You have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge, commands. He'll commission them concerning everything of your life to protect you, to guard all your ways. They will bear you up with their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon a lion and a cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. He will give you a power that goes beyond reason. Why would God do that for me? Did you read the next verse? Because you decided that you would love him. He will protect you. You go, well, when did I decide that I would love him? He says, when you put your trust in me. One of the greatest ways, it is the greatest way that we demonstrate that we love God, is that we put our trust in him. The way that he demonstrates his love for us is he gave. But we can't give to God. We can trust. And if we will run to his shelter, it's like he turns to us and he goes, you love me, don't you? And we're just holding on tight and we're going, yes, save us. He goes, all right, because you loved me, I'll take care of you. That's a great psalm, isn't it? It's a great psalm. Father, we give you thanks for your loving kindness towards us. And we do trust you. We do love you. In Jesus' name, amen.